Blog Talk Radio.
You got it.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. I'd like to say hello to Apostle Dr. Willie Hunter. God bless you, Apostle. Thank God for the great work that you're doing, the people that you're reaching and motivating and encouraging, and I tell you, all around the world, thank you for the great work you're doing. And I'd like to say hello to everyone who's listening to tonight. I speak blessings upon your life. I pray God just bless you big time in the name of Jesus. I'm Apostle Dr. John Newsom, the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International at 984 Reverend D.J. Lewis Drive here in Houston, Texas. Come by and worship with us Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 p.m. I'd love to see your face in the place. My telephone number is 832-454-5062. Give me a call. Now, if you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and let's read verses 4 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 14. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise and his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of all our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The message God has given me for those who are listening tonight, the power of being in him. The power, oh glory to God, of being in him. Child of God, didn't you know it's just power being in God. It's power being in Yeshua HaMashiach. It's power being in God. This message is to show you who you are in Yeshua, who you are in Jesus, and to motivate you to walk like you know. Walk like you know who you are in Christ. Pray like you know who you are in Christ. Believe like you know who you are in Christ. Oh, glory to God. That sounded like a song, didn't it? Glory to God. Get motivated because you know who you are. We're going to take a look at who we are in Christ. Why? So we can walk like we know who we are in Christ. So we can pray like we know who we are in Christ. So that we can believe like we know who we are in Christ. This message is going to motivate you to do exactly that. Walk like you know, pray like you know, and believe like you know. In him, number one, in him, to us who are in him, how do you get in him? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You're in him when you confess in your with your mouth he is Lord and believe that he died on the cross and God raised him from the dead. When you confess this with your mouth and believe it in your heart, then are you saved. You're in him, and it is power being in him. Number one, in him, we're blameless. You're blameless. That word blameless means without fault, without spot, without wrinkle. In him, you're blameless. You're blameless. You're without fault. When God look at you and you're in Yeshua, you're in Jesus, you're in Yeshua HaMashiach, when you're in him, you're blameless. That word blameless means to be without fault. You're without fault. You're without spot. In God's eyes, you have no fault. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the power of being in him, in Jesus, in Yeshua HaMashiach. The power of being in him. It's power when you're in him. You're blameless. Number one, you're without fault. You're without spot. You're justified. It's just as if you've never sinned. In God's eyes, you have faults. Look at Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We're in him, we're without blame. That's the way he set it up to be before the foundation of the world, according as he had chosen us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and how? Without blame, before him in love. In him, in Jesus, in Yeshua HaMashiach, you saved children of God, you mighty, powerful children of God. I'm talking about this power of being in him. You're without blame. You're without spot. In God's eyes, you have no fault. So we need to walk like it. We know that. We need to pray like it. We know that. We need to believe like it. We know that. Oh, we don't have to beg and, oh, no, oh, God, I'm so sorry. We don't have to beg and all that. No, in him, we go to him knowing that in him we're without what? Blame. We're without fault. We're without spot. We don't have to be ashamed to go to him in prayer. So we need to pray like it. We need to walk like it. We need to believe like we are. We know who we are in Christ. In God's eyes, you have no fault. You're without fault. You're without spot. The scripture says here in verse 4, you're blameless. Number two, in him, we're his children. And if we're his children, we're heirs. In him, we're his children. And if we're his children, we're what? We're heirs. What does that mean, we're heirs? That means we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. We got some stuff. God has some stuff here for us on earth and in heaven. We have some stuff. We got an inheritance because we're his children. And if we're his children, we are then heirs. Look at verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We're his children. In him, we're his children. And if we're his children, then we're heirs. We're heirs. We have an inheritance. Go over to Romans chapter 8. I'll show you that. Romans chapter 8. Acts, Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 17. And if the children, if we're children of God, then we're what? Heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. That means what Christ Jesus owns, we own. We own because we're what? Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. In him, we're his children. And if we're his children, then we're heirs. We have an inheritance. Number three, in him, we're accepted by him. Oh, glory to God. In him, we're accepted by him. He's not going to deny us. He's not going to turn away from us. We're accepted by him when we're in him. In him, we're accepted by him. He's not going to reject us and turn us away. In him, oh, glory to God, we're accepted by him. I'm talking about the power of being in him. Number one, in him, we're blameless. Number two, in him, we're his children. And if we're his children, then we're heirs. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Number three, and in him, we're accepted. We're accepted by him. Look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him, we are accepted by him. Number four, in him, we're redeemed through his blood. We're forgiven. In him, we're redeemed through his blood, we're forgiven. Because of Adam and Eve, they messed up. We were in the clutches of Satan. We were ruled and by Satan. We were his because because of Adam and Eve when they fell in the garden, when they disobeyed God. We became Satan's. Satan had control of us. But in Jesus, in Yeshua, he has redeemed us. He's redeemed us. He's bought us back with his precious blood. We belong to him. And in him, we are accepted and we are redeemed. We're bought back by his blood. It's like you go to hock something in the pawn shop. If you go to hock a ring in the pawn shop, and now it's under the control of the pawn shop. Until you go back with the right amount of money and redeem your ring from that pawn shop. But until you take the right amount of money to the pawn shop, you're not going to redeem your ring back. That ring will stay under the control of the pawn shop. But you can go and redeem it when you take to the pawn shop the right amount of money to redeem it. Then you can get it out, and it belongs to you. It's belonged to you all along, but right now it's under the control of the pawn shop. And to get it back from out of the control of the pawn shop into your control, you have to take the right amount of money with your receipt and what? Redeem it back. Well, that's what Jesus did for us. We were under the control of the devil because of Adam and Eve. They disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. But Jesus, Yeshua, came and died on the cross. He shed his precious blood, and he rose from the dead. He brought us back from the control of the devil over into his control. Now we're no longer controlled by the devil. We're in him. We don't have to be controlled by the devil because we've been what? Redeemed and forgiven by the blood of Jesus. In him, we're redeemed through his blood, and we're forgiven. Look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption. How? Through his blood, the precious blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his glory. Because of Jesus' blood, we have been redeemed through his blood. We're forgiven of our sins. Glory be to God. In him, we're redeemed through his blood, and we have forgiveness of all our sins. Number five, in him we have been lavished with his wisdom. We have been lavished with his wisdom. What does that word lavish mean? A person spending or giving generously and sometimes too freely. We're being lavished. God has lavished his wisdom upon us. In him. He lavishes us with his wisdom. He gives us, he gives it to us generously. What is wisdom? He gives us the know-how, how to apply his word, the right application of the knowledge that he gives us. It's the right, that's what wisdom is. It's the right application of the knowledge of God, the right application. You know, you can take something and you can apply it all wrong. But he gives us his wisdom. That's the right way to do his word, the right application, how to apply his word right in our life. He lavishes wisdom upon us when we're in him. He'll give us the proper and the right way to do things that he talks about in his word. He'll give us the wisdom. Look at verse 8. When he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He makes us wise. He gives us the wisdom to so that we can apply his word rightly. He lavishes his wisdom upon us. When does he do that? When we're in him. When we're in him. Oh, glory be to God. When we're in him, when we're in him, when we know who we are in Christ, and that's what we're finding out, when we know who we are in Christ, it motivates us to walk like we know it, to believe like we know who we are in Christ, to pray like we know who we are in Christ, to walk like we know who we are in Christ. Glory be to God. In him, we have been lavished with his wisdom. Number six. In him, we know his plans. Glory to God. In him, in Jesus, in Yeshua HaMashiach, we know his plans. When we're in him, God, he will show us his plans for our life. He'll show us his plans. Oh, glory to God. We won't be in the blind. We'll be in the know. We'll be in the know. He'll let us know his plans. Look at verse 9. I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9. Having made known unto us, what? The mystery of his will. There it is right there. The mystery of his will. He'll make known to us his plans. He won't leave us in the dark. He'll let us know what he's created us to do. He'll let us know our purpose in life here on this earth. He'll let us know. He won't leave us in the blind when we're in him, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. When we're in him, child of God, I'm talking about the power of being in him. When we're in him, Yeshua HaMashiach, when we're in Jesus Christ, in him we'll know his plans. He'll reveal his plans to us. He'll reveal the will of God for our life to us. He'll reveal it to us in him. Number 7, in him we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. We have inherited some things. We have inherited some stuff. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What he owns, we own. Oh, glory to God. In him we have an inheritance. Look at verse 11. In whom also we have obtained, what? An inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. In Jesus, we have an inheritance. You're not broke. You're not broke, child of God. God will reveal to you and show you how to tap in what's already yours. He'll show us that. He'll show us how to tap in to what's already ours, because we do have an inheritance. He'll show us how to walk by faith. Yes, he will. He'll show us how to talk faith. He'll show us how to do these things so we can obtain our inheritance. In him, you have and I have an inheritance. And number 8, my final point, in him, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're sealed with the Holy Ghost unto the day of redemption. We're sealed, oh glory to God. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Look at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise when we're in him. The power of being in him. And that's what God wanted me to share with you tonight. Glory to God.
God. Wow. What a God we serve. But you know what? God is just so good. His mercy endures forever and forever. And I want just to say this to the people that are listening to us. God has a great work for some of us, but we must do it. One thing I want to know you to tell you, when you look at what God has chosen us, God has chosen us. God chose us, so in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And so what we need to do is we need to get ourselves back into what God's going to be doing. And we got 10 minutes before the next program. Anybody got a prayer request or things they want to say, want to bless God, move forward? Somebody come and speak, please, if you got an answer, a prayer, a request. Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord. I just want to say thank you, and I require the prayers of everyone. And the body of Christ require the prayers of everyone. And above all, I pray that we will all be delivered from hypocrisy of this here race, this here race for the presidency, and for Christians who say they're Christians, who are hypocrites, who are liars, and who are deceivers, and don't even know. Some of them don't even know they're liars and deceivers. So I pray that God will quicken the heart of those that truly love him. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Praise the living God. Well, you know, tonight on the radio show, hello, somebody? Hello? Well, tonight I got a young man that I want to bring everybody into. I want y'all to know he's a man that God is getting ready to use, and I know he has a word of God, and D.C. He's from Humble, Texas. And I'm going to let him talk to y'all. Are you there, D.C.?
Yes, sir, Dr. Hunter, I'm here.
All right, go ahead and tell the people what God has blessed you to do.
Well, I mean, God has put it on my heart ever since I was a young boy that he...
You there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, like I was saying, God put it on my heart ever since I was a young man about what I would be doing in life and like everybody else, you know, who's called to do this walk for God. I had doubts in it because of the things that I had done in my life, and you know, it's like the pastor said before. You know, we can do these things, but only through God who strengthened us to do these things. And we are forgiven of everything wrong that we've done. And so we have to keep in mind, because that's the thing, that's a ploy that Satan uses to try to deter us from doing what God called us to do. Because God is perfect. God is perfect. God knows no sin. Sin stinks to him. And he knew this, so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins so that we be forgiven and that we may have a right to heaven. We may have a right to the blessings and the promises that he gave, that he said are ours. Like he said, once he said, you are not broke, you are rich. And that's so, so, so true. If you know God, if you walk with God in anything that you want, anything that you need, all you have to do is ask. And my talking point for tonight is goes right into that. It's called, I like to call it the faith walk. And I like to talk to you about faith. Because faith is the essential thing that you need if you're going to walk and believe in God. You have to have faith. You can't reach God. You can't serve God. You can't do nothing without nothing if you don't believe. You have to believe in God. That is the number one thing. And to believe in God, to walk with God, you have to have faith. Because in today's times, in the world that's so evil and corrupt and dark and full of hate and savagery and just immoral conduct, we have to have faith because we can't, a lot of times we can't see. We can't see what God is doing because a lot of times we're ignorant to God. And I was talking to a guy the other day in class when I was in school, and he's a smart guy, educated guy, but he's ignorant to God because everything that happens in his life, he can't see the God in it. And when you're walking with God, when you're trying to walk upright with God, you see everything, everything that happens, everything in your life that happens, your baby's being healthy, your finances being met. You might not have a lot of money, but your light's still on. You know, you can see the God in everything. And I used to wonder when I was a kid, I used to listen to the old people when I was in the church. I'm going to call them the old people, but I'm going to be old one day, hopefully. You know, I used to listen to them, and they used to always say, you know, they used to give God credit for everything. I mean, if the wind blew a certain way, they'd say, oh, thank you, Jesus. And I never understood why they did that until I got older. And I realized that everything that happened under the sun is for the glory of God. Everything. And so I had to come to understanding of that. And once I came to the understanding of that, I knew then, you know, that God is responsible for everything. You know, so I like to go to Mark 4, verse 34 through 34. It says, when Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, the smallest seed on earth, but when planted, it becomes one of the largest garden plants. And I like to go to that because he was saying right there, he's telling you that if you have the faith, even if your faith is small as a mustard seed, God can work with it. And he can show you things that you wouldn't believe. Just from the smallest amount of faith, that can transform into an amazing, you know, amazing thing. But you have to have it. You have to have that faith. So again, I say faith. That's another thing when I like to talk about faith. You know, and then you know, like I said, I don't know. I keep hearing a breakup in that passage. Am I breaking?
Go ahead. Right? No.
Okay, I'm going easy.
Go ahead. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? I'm here. Go ahead.
All right, I lost the connection with my phone or something. I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead.
All right, anyway, like I was saying, the faith of a mustard seed, that's the beginning of your walk with God. Because to walk with God, as Enoch did, you have to have faith. It says Enoch walked with God for 300-plus years. And what that means when he says you walk with God, that means anything that you do in your day, anything that you do, you confer that with God. We can imagine that as you walking with your wife. And before you make a decision, even though you're the head of your household, you always want to confer with your wife and see what she thinks. It's the same thing. It's the same principle when you're walking with God. You ask God. You pray to God. God, you know, what should I eat today? God, what should I drink today? They may seem like tedious things, but this is the beginning of something greater because we have to train ourselves to seek God in everything that we do. It's like he says, seek ye the kingdom, and all things will be added unto you. It's the same principle. Seek me. Seek my opinion. Seek my approval for everything that you do. And if you seek his approval for everything you do, you can never go wrong. because God will direct you if you seek that from him. And we have to seek that from him. But the first step before we can get to that is we have to believe that he can do these things. And he will not do these things in your life if you don't seek him first. If you don't believe in him first. It's like we say, he said before, the pastor said previously, all your sins are forgiven because Jesus paid that price. Well, if you don't believe that Jesus died for those sins to be forgiven, then they will not be forgiven. You have to accept Jesus Christ first. So he's asking us to believe in something that many of us have not seen. Some of us have not seen the glory of God. Some of us have not seen miracles happen, or we just don't realize that we're seeing miracles.
Amen.
It says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge means many different things. Knowledge of self, knowledge of things around us, knowledge of God's presence in our life. And many of us, even the smallest miracles that happen every day, like us waking up, taking your first breath in the morning, we take these things for granted. And we can't do those things. We have to be mindful of who is allowing us to live, to see these things. And we have to give him his glory, give him his thanks. We thank everyone else. If somebody hand us a $100 bill in the mall, we thank them. We thank them for giving us something that God created. Everything under the sun is God's, everything. So if we need anything, you have to believe in God that he will provide that for you. But you have to have that faith. You have to walk with God. And to walk with God, we must have that faith. You know, Pastor, I sat with you the other day, and we talked, and I realized, you know, just in that presence, I realized that me and my wife, we have been walking by faith for the past year. I'm going to let y'all into a secret of my life. Let me show you who I am. Transparent. I lost my job. I was a locomotive engineer for BNS Railroad, making $10,000 plus a month. I lost that job. And the reason I lost that job, I asked God, I said, God, I want to be in your will for my life. I want to do what you put me here to do. And whatever it is, I'm willing to do that. And God showed me, he showed me my dreams, that I would lose my job. He showed me the exact way that it would happen. And I said to myself, prideful as I was, I said, nah, that couldn't happen to me because I can handle this. I'm one of the best ones out here. I said, so that can't happen to me. But then I prayed that prayer again. I said, God, let your will be done in my life. And I believe that you will because you've been doing it for me since I was a kid. I was a child. I've been hearing God's voice. And I said, you know, it wasn't going to happen because I didn't think that it would happen like that. I said, God, I don't think that would happen because you gave me this job. I prayed and asked you for this job, and you let it happen. But God was setting me up to teach me a lesson that while I was out there seeking the money, I was seeking the money, and I was forgetting about him. And I told my wife that. I said, you know, while I'm out here on this train at all hours of night seeking this money, I could be utilizing this time to seek God. And he set me up to bring me down to let me know that I am your God. I can give you this and I can take it away from you. Speaks to me in my dreams all the time. So in the last day, God will speak to young men in their dreams with visions. And he's been speaking to me. And I see what's going to happen. And I know what's going to happen. But you had to have faith to get to this level. You had to have faith. And I've been having faith in God since forever because it's all I knew. My grandparents taught me this, and this, they taught me the way that faith is what you have to have. And I believe God for everything that I have. Everything that I achieve in my life, I give it back to God because it's not me. It's him. You allowed me to do this. My children being born, you allowed them to be born healthy and strong. Me meeting my wife, you allowed me to meet this beautiful woman. Everything. And we have to realize that thing. So back to the railroad part, when I lost my job, and I lost cars, and I lost my townhouse. But when I lost those things, I gained a clear understanding. I gained a relationship with God. I became closer to him. And the things we like my wife said today, I got hit with another shot. But now I'm able to take these shots and I can keep walking because they don't faze me anymore because I know that God is bringing me out of it because I saw it. I've seen it. He's shown it to me. And he's shown me enough things in my life to where I know without a doubt that he's going to bring me out of it because God is in control of my life, no one else. And the foundation that God has set before me, I will walk that, this faith walk. I'm going to tell you how much God has blessed me of this faith. This is my faith in God alone has held me this year. I've made almost the same amount of money this year as I made working. And the only thing I do is go to school. And the only thing I do is pray. And me and my wife see God. Our lights are on. Our cable is on. Our cell phones are on. Everything. Our children are clothed in the nice things. Birthdays are being met. Nobody's calling here looking for money because God provides our every need because we believe in him. And we believe in his journey that he's predestined us to take. And if you believe in God and the journey that you're destined, your destiny, if you seek your destiny, your purpose on this planet, and you find it, God will provide everything that you need. You won't want for anything. And I'm a living witness of that. You may call us, we may be what they call faith walkers, but I would gladly be known and labeled as a faith walker. Enoch was a faith walker. Paul was a faith walker. Moses was a faith walker. Everyone. David was a faith walker. Everything in the Bible that you look at always reverts back to faith. The woman with the issue of blood, you are healed because of your faith. Everything in the Bible. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can do anything. So, first thing, you have to have faith to walk with God. Because God can't work with you if you don't believe in him. And he loves you. He loves us all. But he won't open that door and pour out those blessings to you until you show him that you believe in him, that you believe he can do the impossible. I said before the other day, I said, you know, my favorite hymn in the Bible, you know, yeah, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's my favorite one because when I was in the military, I used to recite that in my mind over and over and over because I was terrified to go to war. I didn't want to get blew up. I didn't want to not make it back home and see my family. But God kept me. He protected me. 9 years in the military and not anything didn't happen to me. Got shot at, didn't hit me. Thing that we have to know. Satan will throw his best shots at you when you're trying to do what you need to do for God. He will try to deter you in everything that you do. The closer you try to go to God, the more he's going to throw those stones at you. But you have to keep walking. You have to keep your eyes on God. So I said, refer back to Enoch. And one thing about this, when you're walking with God and you're seeking God, you have to start operating and conducting yourself in a godly manner. Amen. And don't think because you sin that you can't speak on sin. Because Jesus paid the price for you, so you'll be able to open your mouth and speak against that. If you see your brother or your sister doing something wrong and you don't say anything to them, their blood is on your hands. Regardless, and that's God's word. We walk around these churches and we see these homosexuals in these churches and in these communities and we turn our eyes to it because we don't want the conflict. We don't want the fight. We don't want to go against the LGBT. And I have nothing against homosexual people because I'm not God. But I can tell you this, what you're doing is going to, that is a first-class ticket to hell. Because God spoke on it and said that is an abomination and he ain't changed his mind on it. It's not me saying it, it's God. But we allow this to happen, and I see it in our communities, in the black communities, more and more every day that black males are becoming homosexual. Why is that? Why is Satan attacking the black people so much? Why is that? Because you're God's people. They don't want to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. You are God's chosen people. This is why the world seems like it's against black people. Yes, Satan want to kill all of us, all people, but the world is pretty much every race is against black people. Not all of them, but most of them. It's set up that way. Why? Because you're God's people. You're chosen. You are put here. You are predestined to serve him. When Moses brought those people out of Egypt, those were your people, your ancestors. And Satan's been doing everything in his power to break those people since he came down here. But you have to have faith in God to protect you, to restore you, to redeem you, as the pastor said before, to redeem us as a people. You have to seek that knowledge. Ask God for that wisdom, because he said, if you ask me for that wisdom, I will give it unto you. I will give you an abundance of wisdom, because wisdom is the thing that's going to get you through this next phase of life. I know we want to pray, and we want to pray for the election. And I know we don't want Donald Trump to win. I know Hillary Clinton is not a better choice. And I got to tell you, I read Revelations, and it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Revelations would tell us that. The prophets would tell us that. In the last days, it's going to be treacherous. And you're going to have your faith in order. You have to make a stand. As Joshua said in the Bible, I can't tell you all what to do. I can't control what you believe in. But as for me and my house, we choose to serve the Lord. You have to choose. You have to make a choice. You can't play both sides. You can't turn a blind eye to the problems in your communities no more. Because when you turn this blind eye and you know in your heart that it's wrong and those people are going to go to hell if they continue their ways, you are just as guilty as them. We have to demand that our people do better. We have to demand that our families believe. And they may not believe. They may choose not to, but you pray for them anyway. If you speak to them, if you say, look, God is telling me to tell you this, you tell them that. If they choose to accept it, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. If they choose not to, God bless you. I still love you. But I have to continue to fight to move on forward. I can't go backwards. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you until my face is blue. But you can't continue to sit with people who don't believe in the God that you serve. These people are serving you no purpose. We have to move. We have to believe. And this is what God is putting on my heart. The churches today, I mean, the world is getting worse and worse and worse, and we got all these mega churches everywhere. Why? Why is the world getting worse and the churches are getting bigger? Why? I don't understand that. But then God told me, the words of these pastors, these men are lovers of themselves. They're seeking the glory and the popularity from the people. They preach for applause. They preach to fill the pews for pennies. They're not preaching to get people to the kingdom of heaven, to God's kingdom. They're not feeding the people. They're not spiritually feeding the people. And everybody that's on this line tonight is committed. You're committed to God, because if you wasn't committed, you wouldn't be on this line. You wouldn't be spending the time on the line if you weren't committed to God. Where if you're committed to God, then I challenge you to start reaching out there to those people. All the women on the line, start being a Titus woman. Start teaching the young women how they're supposed to conduct themselves. Conduct yourself as a Titus woman so they have something to look up to. The men, I mean, the Bible is full of men that we can look to and model ourselves after. It's like Paul's letter to the Philippians. Look to me. Model yourselves from after me. Look to your community and look at those people. Model yourselves after them if they're believers.
These are things that we have to do because the last days are upon us. The last days are here. I have dreams daily about these things. I see them. I ask God to show me. I pray to God to show me these things, and he does. He doesn't hold back what he showed me. Why don't he hold back what he showed me? Because he has no time. There's no time to play anymore. This is not a game. This is a matter of life and death. We have to get ourselves right. We have to get our communities right. We can't look to nobody else to do it no more. We have to do it. And if that takes you walking around your community praying for random people, then do it. You put on the full armor of God. You ask God to protect you, send your angels to surround you, and you walk out there on faith that God got your back. Like I said before, yeah, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I shall fear no evil, for thou is with me. You believe that in your heart because God said it. And if God said it, then it's good as gold. Let nobody tell you or say to you that you're not doing God's work when you know in your heart that you are. Let nobody deter you from God's work. Nobody can stop us from praying. They stopped praying in school. They pulled a prayer out of school when I was there. And look how that turned out. School is worse than ever before. But you better not pray. No, you should pray. Tell your children to pray. Because prayer, that's the only thing. That's our connection. That's your phone line to God. Pray. Ask God to strengthen your heart. Ask God to strengthen your faith. And he will do it. But you have to believe that he will do it. If you're sick and you need God to heal you, ask God to heal you. Ask him, God, if it's your will, heal me. Let your will be done in my life. And it shall be done. I have never asked God for anything that he didn't give me. And the things that I have asked him for that he didn't give me, then it probably wasn't for me to have. God is your father, as the pastor said before. You are an heir of Jesus Christ. You are a child of God. If you ask him for anything, if you ask your father for bread, will he give you a snake? Ask him for what you want. Believe that he will give it. Make yourself righteous so he'll hear your prayers. Seek the kingdom of God. Secure your ticket to heaven. Because the last thing I want you to do is to get to those gates and to stand before God and he look at you and say, depart from me. I know you not. Don't be that person. That alone should scare you enough to where you say, you know what? I need to do what I need to do for God. I need to walk that walk. And that's pretty much all I have to say on this topic for tonight. If anyone got anything to say or comment, the line is open for you to do so.
Well, praise the Lord, my dear brother. And one thing I want to say is to DC, I thank God that God has chosen me to work with me to work with you, as in the ministry and to do the work that God has called me to do this hour, and to make sure you continue what God has got you to do. One thing I would say to the believers that are listening in tonight. He reminded me when I was a young man of his age, coming on into the body of Christ. And we all know we're going to have to pray for the young man and his wife because the enemy has decided to attack all of us. No matter how hard it gets, we've gone through some things in our life that we just trust God and we believe God. And here we are right now. Here we are right now. Here we are. What are we doing? Much truth is being said tonight. Much things have to be said. But I will say to you, we have reached the entire world. Somebody out there heard what every one of us is saying. Apostle John Newsom, D.C. D.C., do you want to call you D.C. or what you want to call you, Darren, or what? D.C., are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. You can call me D.C., it's fine.
Okay. Well, for the present time, we're going to call him D.C. I think it's Darian. What's your last name, Darian?
Dorian McGowan. Dorian McGowan.
You hear Dwayne McGowan. But everybody know him as D.C.
Dorian McGowan.
McGowan.
Dorian.
Okay, okay, wife. Let him speak for himself, wife.
Yes, sir. It's Dorian McGowan.
Okay. All right. Well, at any rate, I want to make for sure, because one of the things we say to everybody on the radio station, because you, when you walk, let me tell you that I will call you D.C. When you walk by faith as a man of God, it's going to be time you can't spend time with your mother, with your wife, to tell her what God is telling you, even though y'all walk hand in hand. Because I'm studying right now about the man named Abraham, who went up there and God told him, say, Abraham, he says, I got a job for you to get up. And he got up. You go to them for the 22nd or 23rd or 24th book of Genesis. And he took his son. God said, here am I. He said, I want you to come up to the mountain. He said, I want you to sacrifice your only son to me. Now, just think, we was in that position at the day that Abraham was in. We're in a different position, but God set things in order to show us his love, his kindness. I'm over at the line for somebody. I'm give everybody, let's see, we got about 8 minutes before we go to the next program. I'm going to start with the pastor first, and I'm going to, pastor, are you there?
Sure, I'm here.
Okay, give us a word of what you heard the man say right quick before you come on next.
He's pretty much right on the money, because that's kind of what I was going to talk about tonight on my show. Just keeping in faith and just keep walking in faith and keep believing and trusting in the Lord. You know, that's the main thing you can do. Just stay in the scripture and just keep reading, and God will continue to give you revelation in his word. Those who are in Christ are chosen, just as he chose the 12 disciples. And yet, you know, he's not stopped choosing anybody to fill his purpose in life. And that's what we need to recognize. And we're the light of the world. And it doesn't make any difference what color your skin is. It doesn't make any difference what nationality you are. And I'm talking to anybody in the world who's come to know Christ and surrender unto to the Lord. And God is, even out of those, he has chosen. He has chosen many all over the world to continue the work of the gospel and to fulfill his purpose in life for all of us and for your brothers and sisters and everyone else. So that's, yeah, you're right on the money.
All right, then. We're going to go to somebody else. Hang on. Let me see here. All right. All right, you got something you want to say, my beloved? Amen. All right. I'm going to call your last four numbers on 2240 is your last phone number. Amen. They hung up. Or did they? They said, is it 2240? Well, I guess 2240 just snuck out of here. Well, praise God. I know it'll stop you from, amen. 5209?
I'll say something in a minute. I'm trying to walk into the house right quick.
Okay. All right. 6493. Amen. 6493. Well, I guess it was a whole lot of feeding out tonight, because one thing I can say, what God is doing, and I'm not ashamed of what God is doing. God is raising up a people who cannot sow their lips together. They don't mind saying what God is doing. And, well, we just lost a whole lot of people out right there. My God, what happened there? Is there a... Wait a minute. Come on here. What's going on here? All right, they're coming back on there. All right, Lord. My God. Every night, but you know what, though? I want somebody to stand with me more. See, because somebody has found a way to come into the computers and come on what they're doing. But I don't care if it's a demon from hell in somebody. Until they repent, you're going to hell right now. I'm not going to take any mercy upon you, because what God is doing, he's reaching the unreaching, telling the untold. And now somebody want to get on and play a game? Not on my time, you're not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to tell you. So you just go somewhere else and play, because we believe in God right here. We don't have time to play.
Yeah, you know what, Pastor? I'm going to say something. It's DC. That right there is evidence that what we're doing is God's work. Because anytime you're doing God's work and things like that starts happening, those are Satan's little minions trying to come in and deter the people from hearing the message that's coming through. Everybody on the line should be shouting and dancing right now, because that is evidence of things that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. That's what the messages that are getting, that's been said and taught, are right on point. That is evidence of that. Because anytime you have a gathering, and you're gathering in God's name, and you're gathering to give the people God's message, Satan will always try to destroy that. So that right there is pure evidence of what's really happening.
Amen. So we believe God, we trust God, but I want everybody to know, and I'm going to let somebody else come on the line. I call out this... Okay, she probably in the house now. Dallas, are you in the house now? Praise God. Father, tonight I want to thank you right quick while we're on this radio station. Thank you for everything you have done this night, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. Here we are. Much to be done, much to be said. We're not trying to push up or push down, but we're looking under you. You are the author and the finisher of all things. You said in your word, look unto the Lord, and he is the world. He rules the heavens and the earth. We want to thank you this night, right now, while we're in the midst of the mist. And we know, Father, that it's a demon. Those demons, we cast them down. You told me you give us power, authority, and we take it over him and push him out of these eight airways that you've given us. But we believe all things are working together. We're not trying to put anybody better than ourselves. We're not trying to be above anybody, but we are your son. We are your son. The same gift I received, they're going to receive. The same thing Jesus died. He died for us all. And for this, I want to say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me see if I can get this lady back from Dallas. Dallas, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
I really don't have too much to say other than I did hear what went for at least portions of it. But I'm just grateful and thankful for what I have heard. And I think that the Word of God, we should just take the Word of God and make sure that we apply it daily to our lives, and that we become the reflection of who he is. Since in his image we were created. And so, and just to be mindful, just to keep everybody up in prayer.
Amen. Well, I'm going to bring the pastor on there from Broken. Pastor Irwin, are you there? Go ahead,
yes,
Pastor.
Yes, sir. How are you all doing tonight?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, that was DC. That was pretty good. I was listening to you and Dr. Newsom. You know, it's kind of coming in the line. Basically, what I was praying about, giving the word tonight. You know, just in the last month or so, I've traveled over 10,000 miles ministering, and I got to apologize for last week because I couldn't do anything else, man. I fell down.
I understand.
I just said,
you understand. We know what the job is. Preach on, brother. Preach on. Preach on, brother.
Preach on. Yeah, praise God. You know, so and actually, next week I'm going to be on a 4-day cruise where I'm going to be preaching on a 4-day cruise. So I'm going to have a captive audience.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, praise God. So, but. You know, we are heirs to the throne of God, and when you come to the understanding and knowing as to who we are and what we are in Christ, you know, being on the road and traveling and doing the things I've been doing, and people, you know, have been coming up asking for prayer, you know, it got to me, this last woman that asked for prayer. She says, you know, I have to endure this, what God has given me. And I said, what are you talking about, what God has given you? And she says, well, this illness that I have, they said, God has given this to me, so I have to deal with it. And I said, God didn't give you that. He said, how many times, how long have you had this, and how many long have you been going and asking for a prayer, but you're blaming God for giving you a disease that he never gave you? And she kind of went, well, what are you talking about? And I said, because God is a giver of life. If he tells the disciples, and then also he tells us who are in Christ to go out and lay hands on people, and they will be healed, and they'll raise them from the dead, and cast out demons. I says, well, if he's going to have us do that, how could he be the one who's going to sit there and give you a disease? I said, that's the work of the devil. I said, what we're going to do, we're going to cast that work out of you and send that back to the pit of hell where it belongs. I said, and then you'll be delivered, then you'll be healed. See, a lot of people, what I've come to see and what I've come over the years, and more so doing a disaster and stuff like that, yeah, we get upset, we get disgusted, we get whatever else. Because this happened to my house, this happened here, this happened to my family, this is going on here, this is going on in my neighborhood, and so on and so forth. And they're blaming God for all these things. Well, God is the deliverer and the healer. He's not the destroyer. He's not the killer. And he's not the one who brings destruction into your homes. You know, and then there's so many people forget that. And there's so many people who sit there and carry that. And so while you're carrying that, you cannot receive from God. You cannot receive what God has to give you, whether it be a deliverance from your past. You know, in the scripture where David sat there and when he sinned and went to bed with Bathsheba and killed her husband, and to cover up his sin, you know. And then when Nathan came to him and told him about his own sin and what God had told him, David sat there and he said, Lord, my transgressions or my sins will always be before me. In other words, he's going to have to deal with those sins in his life. But God, he says, but don't take your Spirit from me. God loves us. Even we have to deal with the things in our past. He's delivered us. He's given us grace. He's done everything else. But there's times we have to deal with things. And when we come to the reality of what it is standing in our way, we also have the authority to rebuke that because of God has already cast it out and forgot it. It's time that you cast it out of your life and that you forget it so that you can move on. Yeah, there's going to be things that's going to come up against that because of the consequences of our sins and of our actions. You know, it's just like I always tell people, I says, you know, Mama says, don't touch the iron, it's hot. Honey, don't touch the iron, but you put your finger on the iron and you get burnt. Mama gets mad at you. But then she kisses her finger better. But in the next 2 or 3 days or so, it continues to burn. That's the consequences. That's the consequences. It's the same thing when God sat there and gave Moses the laws. You know, we say the laws, and what they are, they're a guideline. They're truly a guideline. Say, well, look, if you live like this, these things are going to happen to you. You're going to be able to prosper. You're going to be able to have a good life. You're going to have to do these things, and you're going to be able to enjoy what it is that I have for you. But if you don't do these things are going to happen to you. He's literally telling us in the Bible, and the people who turn their back on God, those who sit there and cause strife in the family, those who sit there and done things in their lives and sit there and neglected the fact that God says, if you live like this, you'll be okay. But when you choose your own path and you choose your own direction, then when things fall apart, you get mad at God. And you begin to get angry at God. You say, God, why did you do this to me? Well, God didn't do it to you, to yourself. But then you want God to rectify it. Well, you know, there's a time when you have to sit there and pull up your socks and you have to rectify it in your own self. You have to begin to rectify it in your life. You're going to have to sit there, and you're going to have to deal with the consequences of your past. We a lot of people say, well, God forgave me and just forgotten, and I can walk away from it. Well, I don't need to do this, and I don't need to do that because I don't have to deal with that because God has already forgiven me. But you never get past it. You never get over it. And a lot of times you can never cross over into what God truly has for you because you don't deal with the consequences of your sin. We need to begin to sit there and take note and stay and knowing that we are saved, knowing that we are healed, knowing that we are blessed by God, and knowing that God has forgiven us, but we still have to deal with the consequences. It's just like a little baby when it fills his diapers up. You know, if we don't change the diapers and keep it clean, it's going to get pretty messy. And pretty soon that little child is going to get sick. Well, that's the same thing that's happening in your soul, that's happening in your spirit, that's happening in your life. Because you never cleaned up. You've never taken time to deal with the consequences of your sins. Yes, God has forgiven you. Praise God, He's forgiven us, because those sins that we've cast out and the things that we've done probably would put us in the path of hell. But God has sat there and He's stepped in between hell and you and give you a new direction for your life and a path for your life and to get back on course. But still, you need to deal with the things that you've done. You cannot sit there and continue to bury your head in the sand. We're seeing the politicians. We're seeing it happen that they're burying their heads in the hands. They already know all these things are coming about. They know they've done all these things. Now it's starting to come back to haunt them. And it's not just in the United States. It's all over the world. We're seeing it all over the world where greed and everything else has come about. And it doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat. It doesn't matter. You're communist. It doesn't matter. But because those who were in charge in the government and those who sit there and made the laws, and those who sit there and filled their own pockets and depleted the nations, plural, nations, they're now beginning to reap the consequences of their actions. And yet the politicians, as they go in, they want to bury their head in the sand because they don't want to deal with what is the government has already created. Now, I'm not just talking about the U.S. I'm talking about all governments. And God even sat there and He tells us about that. He says these things are going to happen. He says that there's going to be greed. He told us that nations will go against nations. And it's all about greed. It's all about treachery. It's all about everything else. But every time we elect somebody, they don't want to deal with the past. It's the same way with your life. And see, you can't receive God's grace when you're not dealing with the situation at hand. You just kind of expect to, well, God's just going to sit there and wave his magic wand and it'll all go away. No, it doesn't go away. Maybe it might sit on the sideline for a little bit, and it'll sit there for a little bit, and then finally somebody falls in the third string and then the fourth string and the fifth string, but somewhere in them strings, that's a consequence of coming back at you because you didn't deal with it. It's time you sit there and begin to deal with the consequences that you, in your lives that you created, knowing that God has forgiven you, knowing that God has given you the grace. He's also giving you the wisdom in how to deal with them. But we don't rely on the wisdom of God has. We try to do it in our own space, our own time. We try to do it. We take it out of his hands, and we carry it, and we fumble, and we mess it up. But if we still continue to walk in God's grace and his mercy, and if we continue to still walk after his love and after him, you know, he will show us the way. And those little things that we've done, those little molehills, those mountains become molehills, let's put it that way, in your life. Because eventually, as you continue to whittle them down, and then they, all of a sudden you see a clearing. And you see that clear path once again. And you'll be able to sit there and start walking that righteousness again. Because if you're trying to fool yourself and figuring that, you know, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, and you haven't dealt with it in your life, it's not okay. It's time you start to sit there and man up and start to deal in your life. That's to be using God's wisdom and his judgment and using God as the way, the truth, and the life, and begin to walk in it. But also, like I said, in his grace, you will find grace. Whether it be that you have to forgive someone, whether that you have to go and ask somebody for forgiveness, whatever the case may be, whatever it is in your life that you're dealing with, that you put in the closet, you know, them bones begin to rattle at some point. At some point, you're going to have to deal with them. And it's better to deal with them now and deal with it under God's grace instead of having to stand before him at the throne. And he said, depart from me, you doer of iniquity. I know you not. We need to begin to understand the truth about Christ and what he's done for us. We also got to know that God is a sovereign God. He's a just God. You know, there's things in my life I still have to deal with. Even stuff that I did 30, 40 years ago, the things that I've done in my past that I'm ashamed of, you know, those things still pop up here and there, but I still got to deal with them. I mean, I dealt with some stuff that I didn't figure I'd had to deal with that I've done 30 years ago. But I sat there the other day with some friends that I hadn't seen in almost 30 years. And we're reminiscing over some of the things that we did when we were young and when we were stupid, when we were drinking and carrying on and doing all the nonsense stuff. And, you know, I got thinking about that. You know, I said, you know what? Even though you delivered me from all them drugs and all that alcohol and you delivered me from all the other stuff, the consequences of my actions of turning somebody else on to drugs and to alcohol, now I have to deal with it, and it's multiplied because I'm seeing it out there in the world, all these people who are strung out on drugs and alcohol. Yeah, maybe I didn't give it to them, but you know what? The people who I turned on to became drug dealers. The people who – and those drug dealers became drug dealers, who they turned on to, until we have this mess we have in our hands. And so we have to start to deal with it, and how do we deal with it? Well, maybe we open up a rehab. Maybe we sit there and begin to go out on the street and begin to minister and hope we can pull them out of the fire as somebody had pulled me out of the fire, as somebody laid hands on me and began to pray with me. You know, these are the things we need to do to be able to quench those fires, to be able to put them out, to deal with the consequences of our past. Maybe it might be something different in your life. It might be something far, far more reaching or even less. But it doesn't make any difference. you know, that's where God's mercy and his grace, and this is what we're supposed to share. And it's not just saying, hey, God bless you, you know, and go to church on Sunday and say, hey, Melvin, how you doing? Man, God bless you. You have a good day. Hey, Rita, how you doing today? By golly, you got the best pie. No. We need to deal in the reality of the consequences of our past, and it makes no difference what it is. And we have to sit there and begin to understand that we can do it through God's grace. And through his grace, we can sit there and turn, give that grace onto those who offended us, give grace onto those who we offended. We can give the love of Christ into those who are lost, because at one time you were lost. We can sit there and turn someone's life around just by smiling at someone because they've had at the point in their lives that they was ready. I got done ministering. I've been traveling for about 3 or 4 months on the road doing motorcycle ministry, traveling all over the states. And I went to a friend's place, and he was having he has an outreach. He used to make burritos and feed it to the homeless and pull up on the blocks and pull out the burritos and give them water and minister to them. And so anyhow, I just happened to know, because I was in town, and I stopped by to see what he was doing and how he was doing. And a man walked up, and I said, hey, where are you going? I said, God needs to talk to you. And he sits there and says, I really don't know who you are. And I stood right in his path. I wasn't going to let him by. And he says, I really don't know who you are. He says, but I'm glad you stopped me. And he reached out and he held up his hands, and he had a handful of pills. He says, I was going to take these because I was going to end it today. And so I began to minister to this man. And I began to talk to him about Christ. Even though he was listening to my friend speaking, it wasn't until I stepped in and intervened, because he was walking away, that I sat there and I stopped him. And I said, hey, man, and begin to talk with him. Sometimes we can save a life without even realizing, because of how many people who we know in our past that have passed away from drug and alcohol, or from AIDS, or from whatever else it is that they've passed away from. It doesn't make any difference. You know, we can save a life just by talking with them, by sharing Christ with them. You know, it doesn't make any difference. We can cross over the boundaries. We can cross. I go down to 5th Ward. I go down to the 3rd Ward. I go into inner cities. I speak in a Spanish ministry. I go into El Salvador, Philippines, Haiti. It makes no difference where I go, because I go with the grace of God, and I go with his promise that he'll protect me. And I go in faith and knowing that no matter where I'm going, that I'm going to be taken care of. And it makes no difference. You know, I sat there and got fed up, and I quit working. I mean, I started working. I quit doing ministry, and I started working. All of a sudden, I realized I'm $30,000 in debt. And before, I had no debt. I had cars. God kept giving me cars as I needed them. He kept giving me all these other things as I needed, places to stay and everything else. And I'm $30,000 in debt, and no better off than I was when I wasn't working and I was doing work for God. And I'm going to tell you this. I sat there and went and looked at a job, and I bid the job out. It was about $7,000 worth of work. I could have done it in about about a week and a half, something like that. And the woman asked me, said, will you work for $125 a day? And I sat there and I threw my tools down, and I said, God, I'm done. And he says, are you going to continue to work for yourself, or are you going to work for me? And I said, I'm going back to work for you. And I know there's people out there right now that are listening to me. Just as DC, you know, you sat there and you were making all that good money working for the railroad and doing everything else. And you're better off now than it was when you were working for the railroad. You being able to spend the time with your family, you be able to raise your children, you be able to do all these other things. Like you said, you're not in want. I've been doing the things, and I've been traveling all over, and everything is paid for. I'm not in want either. Because, you know, I decided, well, I wanted to go to work for myself, and it's the same thing as you taking those aggressions upon yourself. You're taking everything out of God's hand because you're blaming God for all the troubles that you've gone through. You're blaming God for all the things that Satan is the one who is a deceiver. He's the one who is the destroyer. He's the one who comes to seek, kill, and destroy. He's the one, and yet people, even in faith, blame God for the consequences and the actions, the thing that's coming against them, instead of dealing with them when they should have dealt with them. And then maybe for the fact that they were sitting and blaming God and not being able to receive because you're too busy blaming God in order to be able to receive what it is God has for you. She's like I said, after I got done talking to that woman about her blood disorder, and I was talking with her, I said, now you'll be able to receive because we're going to cast that demon out of you. We're going to cast that into the pit of hell, and we're going to cast that what he put upon you, and we're going to cast that into the pit of hell where it belongs, and you can be able to start to walk with Christ again. You see, we have a lot of have knowledge and understanding, but they have the lack of understanding. And there's many who sit there who have walked and tried to walk in faith and believe, but yet they won't let go of the things they need to let go and take a hold of what God has to give to them. Today, right now, if you surrender everything unto the Lord, everything, your family, your children, everything, your job, your money, your finances, your business, everything, you surrender it all right now unto the Lord, your life, your soul, and God will make a way. God will take out of your hands what you no longer need, and he'll put into your hands his love, his mercy, and his grace. And through that, you will have understanding. You will have the wisdom. And you will have Christ in you as the fullness of everything that he has to give to you, everything that he died on the cross for you to have. He will give it to you. All you have to do is ask him and surrender right now. Surrender your life. Surrender your soul. Surrender your spirit unto Christ right now. Ask him to come into your life, to be your Lord and Savior. Ask him right now and ask him if he's real to show himself to you. But you got to be able to release what you have and surrender it in order to be able to receive. That's my word for the night, guys.
Well, you know, God has been good to us tonight. And I'm looking for a brother by the name of Evangelist Abraham Johnson of Mississippi. But before that, there's some things I want to just say tonight regarding our radio program. What God has done tonight, God has blessed us bountifully. And while we were on the radio, one of my classmates sent me an email and asked me to pray for some people in my town called Bryan, Texas. And I'd like to make mention of their name because I would ask everybody to help me to present them before God and watch God do a great work in them. And I'm going to tell you what their names are so we can just do it. And I told them at 9 o'clock we'd be praying for them. Carl Beiser, Chamber Benson Dean, Chadman, Wayman Chadman, Dorothy Williams, Buckner, Benny Green, and let me see, level more. Let me raise their names up. And let me see if I can get their names up here. Moden, Edward Moden, Joyce Evans, Travis Johnson. I got to check. Duma Summer Allah, Callum Jewel Ward, McIntosh, Curtis, Cunningham Curtis, Olsen L. Hall, John Joyce, And these are ones that I want to ask someone to pray for, because I told him at 9 o'clock I want them to call the radio station. If they don't call, it's all right with us. But, see, these ones I went to school with. These are the ones that knew me. These are the ones that I talked with. These are the ones that we had 110 in my day in 1964 to graduate one of the largest class in Bryan, Texas, Elijah Zona Kempire School. And we had a lot of us to go off to college, and we went off to college. We all got our degrees. We're doing good. But I want you to know, as has been said by all of us, I've had a job. I've lost a job. I've kept a job. But now that I have what I have, I thank God more than anything else, because it took me through the years to look what God is showing each generation. See, every generation speaks more in tune, but they're weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. They're weaker physically. They're weaker because they get more knowledge. But I will say this, the more we talk with God, the more God's going to hear what we're saying to him in the name of Jesus Christ. And tonight has been a night that all I can say is hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so I have some board members, and we all agreed prior to coming on the radio station, we were going to have a glorious night. And we watched God tonight, even though with the devil attacking, God blessed us beyond what we can put by. See, there are some people got these telephones they can come in and do, but I've got a device right now. It's called the blood of Jesus. And I'm putting it out there to let it be known. That's what's going to stop you from bothering what we're doing. And I want everybody to know the God we serve is an awesome God. And when you take notice of what God is saying, see, that strong man that's in us, when we take that strong man that's in us, here's what God does. He's fully armed. He's a guardian for his wife, for his children, for his son, for his daughter. That strong man. And I want to say this to you, one thing with love in my heart. Tonight's a night we're willing to say hallelujah. We're going to have that prayer. As I told them, if they want to call in, they can listen in. Most of them got computers, and they can listen in. But here is an opportunity to reach out and touch. You reach out and touch. I'm opening lines up just to listen, because we're going to pray together. Not only for your classmates and some of my classmates, but the whole world. And I want you to know these words right now. There's none like God. God is awesome. When God put me and Jay together, God knew he had DC. And so they're with me now, and I'm thanking God for it. I'm not afraid for the challenge. The flesh profits me nothing. I believe, because I've had dead men in my hand, but they came back alive. Somebody, oh, Hunter, no, he wasn't there. I was. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to be braggadocious. I'm going to tell you what God can do. God is looking for that handy hand, that steady hand, that strong man, that man can walk like Abraham walked, that man that can walk Jesus walked, and walk like Paul walked. That man can walk like Titus. That man that can walk like Peter. That man that walk like God. God the Father, in the name of Jesus, is looking for the pastor William Erd. He's looking for the apostle John Newsom pastor. He's looking for A. Roy. He's looking for D.C. He's looking for J. He's looking. And the more we trust God and believe God, the more we're going to see him. Now, I will say this to everyone. One thing we take notice of that I've come to understand of. Can we all pray together? Are you still alive with us, Apostle Newsom? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ,
yes,
we thank you for everything you have done for us and through us. Today,
yes,
is a day that we come to a point and we said thank you. Today is the day we just praise your holy name. Today is the day that we say hallelujah. today is the day we just want to thank you and praise you.
Yes.
And love you for all the things that you have done for us. And then, Father, while we're on this earth realm today, we just look beyond our own understanding. We thank you for the fullness, most of all for the blood of Jesus Christ, for what your Son Jesus did for us. He came and gave his life that we might have a right to the tree of life, to live eternally from Genesis to Revelation, the tree of life. And we want to thank you right now. I want to thank you for just holding us up in the soundness of mind, and the understanding, knowledge, and the wisdom, and knowing what you said in your word. And you said, anyone, let this mind that was in you, that was in Christ Jesus, let it be in you also. So the mind we have in you, Jesus Christ, do we have the mind of God? We have it because you said it. And the authority that we have in the name of Jesus, we declare and decree this night on this radio station that it will get bigger and better. We'll have more faith factors. We'll have people who will come unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who will suffer and come. But, Father, I will say to you, I cancel every activity that's a thought rising up right now in someone's mind right now that's not of Jesus Christ. I declare and decree those who are listening to us behind the scene, in the scene, that you will grant us the fullness of your Holy Ghost, that we walk by that and we walk by the sight. But it's also walking this walk by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, right now, you're in the earth realm. Jesus is in the earth realm, but it's you now, Holy Spirit. You're now in this earth realm. You're keeping your hands against all the enemies trying against us because God has given you that authority, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we want to thank you for everything God has called you to do in our lives. How you came upon Jesus Christ, let that anointing, Coco San Diego, let the anointing us, all of us, be on somebody else. And tonight I want to thank you. I pray for the wives. I pray for the widows. I pray for the ones in prison. I pray for those right now who are on the sick bed, that your faith will rise to that occasion. I speak those things to be not as if they were right now. I declare and decree the blind man is seeing. The lady ain't got the place to walk. It's walk. Somebody don't have a home right now. Home's been given to them. I want to thank you. For you rose and told us in your word in Deuteronomy. You said, I am the God. I am the God that made you rich. He said, it's I who gave you the rich. Why you made us rich, Lord? You say you want me to rich because we can bring your word into the earth realm. Not according to what the world says. The Babylonians have a process, but we know we live in this world. And therefore, as we live in this world, we take the word of the living God. Jehovah Jireh, hallelujah, we take your word. Jehovah Nisqadu, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Breastwork, we take your word right now. And for this we say, and we just bless all of my classmates that called and needed prayer tonight, whether they're on the line or behind the line, Father, but bless them, even Allah.
Yes.
Bless them, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We declare this name that all things, when the doctor said it can't work, it will work. And then, Father, I know that you never call someone home. You don't call them home. They decide to go home. But you said, when Jesus said, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then he said, Father, not only that, but he took his blood back to John. Oh, God, he took his blood back to the holy place, him and the Holy Ghost, took his blood that was spilled on the earth, and there was not a drop in the earth, but it took back to the mercy seat. But the mercy seat is there so the devil and the demons and all of those who are in hell are going to see. This is what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago. And whoever you got, Father, for the charge, I know I'm accepting it. I've been through it. I've been when there was no food. I've been there when I was put down. I know what it means. I know I've been in Egypt. I ain't going back to Egypt. I refuse to go back. I will not go back to Egypt. And no way, no way in Jesus' name, because I trust you, God. I trust you and believe you. When I didn't have food, you gave me food. I had to call food in. When I didn't have no clothes on my back, I had to bring clothes in. And, Father, I want to let people know, Father, there is no fear. The only fear I have is the fear of God. And I've surrendered myself unto him. Thank you tonight, Father. Somebody tonight's crying out to you tonight. Somebody examine yourself. Don't think that we are more pious than anybody else. We are nothing but a worm before God. God laughed before the devil. He said, he told the devil, stop laughing at you. Because God said, I got sons down there who are doing your will. Tonight's that night. I thank you this night. Bless us all. It is my prayer. It is what I say in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And as I say, remember my words. I love you. I love you. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Until the next time, God bless you.
God bless.
God bless. Love y'all.